by some southern racist cops. Reverend Martin told us what needed to be done, and if he can preach it, we can sing it, help to make the new day come. We took the walk to D.C. My heart in the church, I prayed, oh my child, fix that anger and hurt. It's been almost 50 years, how much longer would it last? We need a change now more than ever. Why we still treat it so bad? With my own eyes, saw it with my own eyes. With my own eyes, so I know it's true. I saw New Orleans, saw the people left for dead. I've heard every bald-faced lie you politicians said. I've seen it for myself, and you can't fool your sight. Well, we'd better make a change, and we'd better start tonight.
Greetings. Greetings again, my dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is January the 9th, 2011, and we are yet in the book of Revelation, learning the mind of God and the mind of Christ in the book of Revelation. And we're talking to the black preacher. We're talking to the black pastor. We're talking to the black church and black people. We are showing how the seven letters in the book of Revelation, written to the seven churches in Asia, as Africans were the first members of the church. One of you knew that. Africans, the Hebrews were Africans. The original Hebrews are African people. Now, Hebrew is a philosophy and ideology of righteousness and justice in the Most High. So, it's not a race. But the first ones to understand this freedom, justice, and equality ideology and philosophy known as Hebrew were and are African people. And so those first followers of Jesus were Africans, made up the first church. And then the Africans making up the first church took that message to the nations of Europe, principally Rome. So these seven churches in Asia are a prophetic look into seven aspects. These seven letters are seven aspects, describing different characteristics and attributes of the black church. We've gone through a few of these letters. We're going to continue to go through them and see different aspects of the black church. All of this is prophetical. It's prophetic concerning us today. We left off last session, chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to take our time and enjoy ourselves in listening to Jesus talk. Chapter 2, verse 9 of the book of Revelation. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know them. Excuse me. And I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. This is such powerful scripture, sisters and brothers, when we understand. And I wonder how many of you have heard your pastors and preachers preach this verse. I guarantee you, not many. I've only heard the minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, preach this verse. And I thank the minister and the Nation of Islam for this knowledge and this teaching of the scriptures. So, black preacher, black pastor, black church, Jesus is talking. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior. He's the Christ, Yahshua Mashiach, Yahshua the Messiah. But Jesus, Yahshua, that word Jesus comes from the African Hebrew Yahshua, coming from the root Yasha. And the meaning of Yahshua is justice, is liberty, is health and wealth. All of that which has been, what we have been talking about, all of that which has been stolen. Stolen from the working class, stolen from the poor class, stolen from the middle class, stolen from the masses. Stolen by who? Who stole the wealth? The wicked ruling class and ruling families stole the wealth. The bankers, the Federal Reserve, the United States Treasurer, the corporations, the wicked, wealthy 1% ruling class have stolen the wealth, stolen the land, the wealth, and the resources. So Jesus, his justice, comes to restore, not just spiritually, but the spiritual is the root. But if that spiritual root does not come and manifest into the physical, then you don't really have a spiritual root, and you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power of God to manifest in physical reality. So Jesus comes to give back to us all that has been stolen spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. So justice is talking. Christ, what does that mean? The anointed crusher of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. As you know, in the Old Testament, every king was anointed Messiah. The oil represented that anointing, the oil on the head, the anointing. Anointed to do what? To save the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from the hands of the oppressor. And in Psalm chapter 82, if you read that carefully, you will see that it tells us as children of the Most High to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from and out of the hands of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. So that's who is talking. The justice is talking. The anointed crusher of the wicked ruling class is talking. And he says, I know your works, tribulation, and poverty. How does he, the word know in the Greek, now we know that Jesus spoke Hebrew to his Hebrew people, African Hebrew to his African Hebrew people. But the New Testament, the Africans, the African Hebrews, African Egyptians, translated the works of Jesus and the apostles, and the Old Testament translated that work into the Greek. After the Greeks got it, they made some changes. But Jesus, the word know in the Greek, is found under the number 1492. It is eldo. It means to see. So Jesus, justice, the anointed crusher of the wicked ruling class, justice sees you, black church, black pastor, black preacher, black people. Says this meaning One of the other definitions of this word know in the Greek, eldo, 1492, means to be aware. So Jesus is aware. Jesus has beheld, another meaning, to behold, and consider, to consider. So Jesus has considered. Justice has considered you, black church. Perceive and understand. Justice perceives and understands what? Your works. The word works, found under the number 2041, ergon in the Greek language, means to toil, to deed, your deeds, and your doings, and your labor. So, justice, looking with the eyes of justice and the heart of justice, knows, is aware of our works. Re-examine the history of the black church in America and that great time when we stood for justice and freedom and equality. Those times of Dr. King and other magnificent preachers who stood for justice and were messiahs unto us. Remember J. Edgar Hoover saw our leaders, male and female, as messiahs. Why? Because J. Edgar Hoover, as a 33rd degree Mason in the Illuminati Masonic Order, knows that we, the black man and woman in the Western Hemisphere, stolen from Africa, stolen from the East, we are the true Jew, the true Hebrew, the true Messianic people. So remember how the black church stood. Reverend Clegg, who Minister Malcolm X went to his church, Shrine of the Black Madonna, in Detroit, Michigan, several times because that was a black preacher that stood for justice. Today, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, one of those great preachers who has stood for justice and paid a penalty and a price for such stance by being thrown under the bus by Barack Obama. He was forced to, or he gave in to that because that's what the Rothschilds desired. But black church, look at our history. Look at how we stood against bombs and guns and bullets and stood against the terror that was inflicted on us by the government of the United States of America, by the FBI and the CIA and the Fraternal Order of the Police. Jesus is saying, justice is saying, he knows our works for justice and equality, and he knows the tribulation that we have gone through. We were, that word tribulation, 2347, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Thlipsis is the word in the Greek. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing these words correctly, but we're making that attempt. That word tribulation means affliction, anguish, burden, persecution, and trouble. And think of slavery days. Think of the early civil rights movement, the African Methodist Episcopalian Church, and the African lodges started by Prince Hall Lodge, wanted to take the Masonic Order and give it to black people, and we could possibly win freedom and justice by understanding those hidden truths that have been hidden by people like J. Edgar Hoover and whatnot. But he was also connected, Prince Hall was connected to the black church and the African lodges and the African Methodist Episcopalian Church, the AMC. So we see the churches in that day, black churches, not all, but a great portion, standing up for justice, connecting with Africa, because that's the key. Then we see Marcus Garvey. I heard from our brother chairman, Omaliyesha Teller, that Marcus Garvey desired to start a church. That church was going to be a church for justice and freedom. So we come through the W.E.B. Du Bois period, early 1900s, and there was always a portion of the black church that stood for justice. And then we come to the glory days of the 50s and the 60s with Dr. King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which was a group of preachers and churches, black preachers and black churches, that came together to, as they put it, save the soul of America, because America had been taken over and is yet taken over by Satan, by the wicked devil Illuminati Masonic order. And so we see that the black church, because of that stance, went through great tribulation. Black preachers suffering bombings. The KKK bombed many homes of our black preachers and black people who stood for justice and members of the black church. Many of our black churches went through affliction, were anguished because they didn't know whether or not they would live another day, live another week, live another month, live another year. But the black church went through this burden of persecution and trouble and persevered, and we made some ground, made some gains, won some victories, because we stood strong with the knowledge that Jesus is justice and Christ is that spirit that would rise up and anoint us to rise up against the oppressor and break free from the oppressor. Says he knows your poverty. Many of us poor, destitute, because we took such a stance. That word poverty is 4432 on the Strong's Hebrew, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. The word is pitokia in the Greek language, means beggarly, indigence, and impoverishment. And how many of us as a people impoverished because of this wicked system, like we have just been speaking about, the wicked ruling class and ruling families taking our wealth, attacking the workers, busting up unions, freezing our pay, depleting our pay, destroying our pensions. Black people, brown people, red people, poor people in general, and poor whites as well, going through this impoverishment. See, poverty and impoverishment are different words. Poverty causes you to think that you're just poor for no reason. But impoverishment means that someone had the power to take the land, take the wealth, and take the resources from you, leaving you in a condition of poverty, just as Jesus says he knows your poverty. But he says you are rich. In the midst of that, you are rich. That word rich, 4145, on your strong, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, meaning wealthy, meaning abounding with riches. Now, wicked ones would take this teaching and say, well, you're rich, you don't need any money. But we're rich in that we are connected to the source, the Most High Father, Amen, and the Most High Mother, Amenet. That's our source, that scientific, hidden, and unseen power that is the cause of all things, the cause of life, the center of the universe, that is that hidden power that moves the sun, the moon, the stars. That physical reality in the universe is teaching us that the Father and the Mother is the source of not only the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, Yahshua Mashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Jesus said he has no power, but that God has given him power. So Jesus is teaching us that we are wealthy because we're connected to the source. But not only that, we are penetrating this knowledge, that when we use this knowledge that we have been preaching on and teaching on, we will be able to overturn the wicked power of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. And when we overturn the power of the Rothschilds, the Illuminati Masonic order, and unite, we will take the earth. The earth is for the righteous. The earth is for the peacemakers. Read the Beatitudes of Jesus. Jesus is not only talking of spirit, as we say spiritual. Jesus is also talking about this physical earth. The land, the wealth, and the resources are ours. It belongs to us. When we stand up with this knowledge and are connected to the source, Father and Mother, Amen, Amenet, Yahweh, in the proper fashion. Understand Jesus as justice, Christ as the crusher of the wicked ruling class, giving us that spirit to rise up and overthrow the wicked ruling class. We will not only be wealthy spiritually as we say it, but we will be wealthy materially as well. Not that we are materialistic, but we will see that the earth, the land, the wealth, and the resources is distributed, that all of that is distributed to the whole of the human family. No wealthy and poor. Everyone having equal access to all that is under the sun. Poverty will be done away with. Impoverishment eliminated. We're taking our next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break. Sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is January the 9th, 2011, and you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. Now, Jesus is talking to you, black man and woman, black church, black preacher, black pastor. Says he knows you. He knows your works, your tribulation, your poverty, but you're rich. And you're rich in the knowledge that we're giving to ourselves, that we are the true Jew, the true Hebrew, the true messianic people. And when we understand this truth, we will be able to take from the devil all that the devil has taken from us. Jesus further says in chapter 2, verse 9 of Revelation, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Jesus is telling us, and if we understand it properly, Jesus is telling us that the European Jew, that the state of Israel, is not the Jew. The book of Revelation is for the last days. In the last days, there would be a group of people perpetrating a fraud, calling themselves Jews, but in reality, they are blasphemous. They are not the Jew. They are the synagogue of Satan. This is the European Jew. This is the Zionists, the leaders of the state of Israel, who are blasphemous and have orchestrated a system along with their European Gentile Christian brothers that is destroying the whole of the human family. The Zionist leadership of the state of Israel wanted to create the state of Israel for the purposes of furthering the colonialist practices of America, Europe, did not establish the state of Israel for freedom, justice, and equality, but established the state of Israel to make sure that the corporations and banks of Europe and America could continue to rape, kill, and plunder not just Africa, not just the Middle East, but Asia, Central and South America, Mexico, the Isles of the Pacific and the Caribbean, and the ghettos and barrios of Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel. Destroying the Palestinian sisters and brothers in the process. Now, before I go into detail as to the identity of the European Jew, going to go into prophecy concerning the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, we're going to prove that they are the blasphemous ones, that they are the synagogue of Satan. But who is the real Jew? I've been saying all along, it is you, black man and woman, in the Western Hemisphere. It is you in the Americas and in the Caribbean and other places in the Western Hemisphere. And I am yet reminded of Christmas. This is January the 9th, not too far from Christmas, this recording date. And the Christmas is in reality not Christmas, but Christ Mass. And Merry Christmas is not Merry Christmas, but Mary, the mother of Jesus. So the African origin of not Christmas, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then Christ, and then Mass. I'm going to take my time for the remainder of this broadcast and deal, the remainder of this recording, and deal with the black man and woman. The black church, the black preacher, the black pastor prove that we are the true Jew. But not for arrogance. In our identity is wrapped our mission. And our mission is freedom, justice, and equality, to advocate for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed all over the earth. But the African origin of Mary Christ Mass. Now, Mary is the Greek. The African Hebrew is Miriam. And that word means rebellious. Rebellious. And if you study Mary and study her words when she was found pregnant and she went to her cousin Elizabeth, who was six months pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary begins to preach. And she preaches, when you understand her words properly, she preaches against the oppressor. She preaches against the ruling class and the ruling families. She preaches against the wicked elite scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, who are put in power by Caesar and Rome and the ruling class of Rome and the wicked Roman Empire. She speaks, Mary does, in rebellion to such wicked system. She speaks how the poor are going to be elevated and how if I have it correct, how the valley would be brought up and the mountains and the high places made low. She is giving you metaphorical and allegorical and symbolic teaching concerning how the poor would be elevated and poverty would be eliminated, and how the wicked ruling class are going to suffer what they put on the poor. She's rebellious, and her womb is producing one who would rebel against this system. We have never been taught properly concerning Mary and concerning Jesus. So we don't know the true African origin of Mary Christ Mass. So this rebellious Mary, rebelling against the system, desiring one to come forth from her womb that would answer the cries of the African Hebrew Israelite nation. One who would give that knowledge that would deliver the African Hebrew Israelite nation from the hands of the wicked ruling class, ruling families, the oppressor, Rome and Caesar. And so Christ is formulating in the womb. Jesus is formulating in the womb. And so Christ is the anointed one, anointed with the power to crush the oppressor. How crush the oppressor? With Jesus. What is the meaning of Jesus? Yahshua, the meaning of Jesus, that word in Hebrew is Yahshua, is justice, is deliverance, is vengeance, because the Most High wants to take vengeance upon the wicked ruling class and ruling families for destroying his people. Not just the Africans, but all of the oppressed all over the earth have been destroyed by the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Health and wealth. So Jesus Christ, Jesus is anointed with the power, with the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding to crush the wicked ruling class and ruling families, because Jesus was that one that was absolutely connected to the Almighty Father and the Almighty Mother. You know her as the Holy Spirit. So Mary, Christ, and then Mass, M-A-S-S. Mass, meaning a collective, a group of people. We, who are the body of Christ, are a mass of people. A mass of Christs. Jesus not only is the Christ himself, but Jesus makes every one of you a Christ. And we are the body of Christ. Christians are a body of people, a group, a mass of people who are anointed with that same power to collectively tap into the knowledge that would overturn the oppressor, the ruling class, and ruling families. We, as that mass of Christians, that mass of people, that group of people, we, when we understand Mary properly as that rebellious one, we want to rebel against the devil's system. We want to rebel against the satanic system. We want to rebel against this slavery and colonialism. We don't want to get along with colonialism and slavery and exploitation. We want to rebel against that. And we want to produce children and spiritual children and people that want to rebel against such a wicked system. We want to be endowed and endued or imbued with the mind of Christ, that we would be anointed to rise up and overthrow that wicked system. Endowed and imbued with such a spirit to overthrow the oppressor, because we love the oppressed. This is the meaning of the birth of the Messiah in Christ. Now, where is this story first told? Not told in the Bible first. not told in the Quran first. It's in the Quran. Yes, it is. Jesus is Messiah, born of Mary, virgin birth, stands up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. It's in the Quran. I teach that from the Quran later, another time. But where is this first told? You remember what we said about the universe? That the universe is the first teacher concerning the hidden and unseen power. Amen, the Father, Amenet, the Mother. You know her as the Holy Spirit. That the universe is the first teacher of all of the truths and lessons that we learn from Bible, Quran, and scientific book that we see in our libraries, in our schools, and so on. This story of the birth of the Christ, the birth of the Messiah, is first told in the universe. The S-U-N is symbolic of the S-O-N. Now, the Africans are the first scientists that studied the universe and understood that the S-U-N is symbolic of the Messiah. The S-U-N is symbolic of Jesus, the Son of God, the S-O-N of God. The African scientists are the first to teach that knowledge. And so the African scientists saw in the heavens and saw in the universe how the sun moved and how the sun went on its course and how the hidden and unseen power moved the sun. And in studying the earth, studying the S-U-N, and how during the time of winter, leading into that time, the sun is moving ever south. Earth growing cold, going into the winter time. And so what you have around December 25th is the winter solstice. You wonder why it is said that Jesus was born on December 25th when he wasn't born on December 25th. This is a spiritual birth that the Messiah walks into, and then we all are reborn symbolically in this December 25th winter solstice story. So on December 25th or December 22nd, just before December 25th, you have the Eastern Star. And you know that the story of the three wise men in the East, they see a star in the East and they travel west to get to the Messiah. Okay? That story is first told in the heavens. There is a seven-star constellation called Orion. O-R-I-O-N. The Africans called that star Asar. Europeans called Asar Osiris. The constellation is Orion. Okay? Now, in that seven-star constellation, there are three stars in the middle. The two stars at the top represent the two shoulders of Asar, or Osiris, or Orion. The two stars at the bottom represent the legs or the feet or the two knees of Asar or Osiris or Orion. The three stars in the middle represent the waistline. The three stars in Orion's belt or Orion's waistline. Now, those three stars are metaphorically called the three kings. The three kings. That's another term for the three wise men, the three kings. Now, when the sun gets to December 22nd, the sun ceases to move, remains unmoved, and the Sirius star appears in the east. That Sirius star, the African Egyptians called that star Aset. Aset is the wife of Asar. Aset is also called Isis, the wife of Osiris. So the Sirius star appears in the east. The three stars in Orion's belt face westward, following that star in the east. And this whole trajectory points toward the S-U-N. At this time, the S-U-N, so you have your three wise men, the three stars on Orion's belt, the three kings. You have the star in the east, the eastern star. You have all of this going on in the east, but facing towards the west. In the west, the S-U-N has ceased to move southward. It is now unmoving, not moving, in an unmoved or still position. I believe it's level with the equator line. You draw another line. The S-U-N is on its celestial cross, unmoved. And then on December 25th, the S-U-N begins to move again. And the Africans taught that this is the metaphorical, allegorical, symbolic teaching of the birth, rebirth, and resurrection of the S-O-N. The S-U-N is symbolic of the S-O-N, Jesus, Yahshua, or Heru in the African Egypt. And Jesus said he is the light of the world. Well, he's comparing himself to the S-U-N, which is the physical light of the world, because Jesus, as an African, knew that the S-U-N symbolized himself, the S-O-N of God. And so, all of this is going on in the heavens around December 22nd to December the 25th. And so you can see, and I'll be saying this again in some time, and I want to say it better, I hope, but that biblical story was first told in the heavens by the Most High. Psalm 19, I believe it is, says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens are the first teachers of the Most High, the hidden and unseen one. And the heavens are the first teachers of the Messiah. And the heavens are the first teachers of you, black man and woman, you black people who were taken from the east and taken west, because all of this is also a prophetic look at your story. How we were taken from the east, taken west, made slaves in America, and as Jesus is the Messiah, you are the messianic people. And all of this is about you. And when we understand that this is about us, we will understand our identity and our mission, and we will get up and stand up for equal rights and justice. This is all for this session. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people. And we'll continue to understand that we are the messianic people next session.